On today's show, Ireland get the bonus point win over Russia. Okay, it wasn't perfect, but we're getting there.
Baz, get over it.
We're looking ahead to next week. Okay, we haven't been playing too well. We've got some more. We've got this.
Now that I see you here, move along.
Joe presents Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby, together with Guinness.
Hello and you're very welcome to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby here on Joe, together with Guinness. We're straight in tonight. We've got Andrew Trimble on the couch. We've got Jerry Flannery on the couch. We've got producer Pat tapping away furiously on his laptop in the corner. And we're straight into our win today after one of our worst defeats ever in Rugby World Cup history against the Japanese at the weekend. We're back. We've beaten... We're back with an emphatic win over the evil Russians. Cue, like, evil Russian music. I mean, like, we're back, right? I mean, they boast staggering 17.5 million square feet of the Earth's surface, spanning over 11 time zones, 147 million people, and 4.3 trillion in their GDP.
How much did they get beaten in?
Russia?
Uh-huh.
35-0.
35-0.
Yeah, and we've not, like...
Whatever.
What if we got...
How many points
per... We've the Clipsamore.
How many points per square foot?
The Guinness Open Gate Brewery. The Guinness Storehouse.
Pints of Guinness, just in general.
Pints of Guinness.
The Giant's Causeway.
King John's Castle.
King John's Castle.
The Treaty Stone.
The Rubber Bandits.
Rubber Bandits. The Square.
New Grange.
Why do you keep naming all these pagan sites, man?
We did a bit with Ireland where we did, like, I can't remember, there was some play on Newgrange and how it was built and all, and how perfect it was and how perfect their preparation was, and that was, like, Joe brought the guy in, like a historian, and then we went and visited Newgrange and all, and then I was rooming with Felix. Anyway, Felix is like proper Ireland history through and through.
Yeah.
I was like, Felix, don't tell anyone, I'd never heard of Newgrange. He was disgusted.
I've never heard of Newgrange. I was there also.
Get Felix on the line immediately.
Why? What is Newgrange?
Felix will crack up.
Explain it to me.
Oh, I don't know. It's a pit. You're right.
Oh, you went to it, man. You went with Joe, no?
But I find it really boring. But I didn't learn anything.
Yeah, but you still must know what it is. What is it?
It's just a big, big building made out of like stones, and it's built in such a way that
a house,
like a house, I suppose, in a lot of ways.
Like our very own big house. Building made of stones. This is a big building made of stones.
It's built in such a way.
I thought that was cardboard.
The light comes in.
I was afraid my hand was going to go through.
The light comes in and, like, does it create a pattern? Pat, help me here. Do you know this?
Yeah, like the summer and the winter solstice lights up the whole internal chamber.
So they built it thousands of years ago, and the sun shines in through a hole.
All right, nerd. Go ahead,
nerd. We need to get someone on.
We bait the Russians.
Yeah,
talk about that.
Yeah, the evil Russians. Dun 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 dun. I wish. On today's show, we're going to look back at that game. We're also going to look at... I think we should take a little step back and look at the Japan game as well. Now that we've had a few days to digest it, and we'll also look ahead to hopefully who we potentially will meet in the quarterfinal. But we all know it's not going to be Russia for sure. You didn't see the game. You were in...
I was on a city break with my wife.
You were in Nice.
My third born in Nice. Yeah.
Nice.
So, got that quite a bit.
How often have you got that?
I'd say that's...
Count.
Seventh time.
Imagine being from Nice.
It's a dad joke.
You must get that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Fuck.
But yeah, I didn't see any rugby at all.
That's all right. Talk you through it.
Yeah.
I've been so up to my eyes in rugby, I kind of want to get into this Nice thing, but I know most people probably want to talk about rugby now.
No, I think they'll want to hear about my city break.
You got 60 seconds to talk about Nice there.
Okay, tell us about Nice.
There's nothing interesting to say, actually. We just slept in, stuffed our face with croissants and food in general, and just lay by the pool, and Katie...
So weather decent over there?
What?
So weather decent.
Beautiful, yeah. Like 20, 23, 24, 25, something like
and
that.
And we have Lorenzo, a sexy bastard of a storm coming our
not,
way.
Not so nice, Lorenzo. Yeah.
But yeah, so sorry, I'm very unprofessional, very unprepared. But I'm going to replace preparation with fake enthusiasm.
okay.
Deal?
Yeah, I'll take okay. that.
That'll do.
All right, Ireland beat Russia 35-0 in a sauna in Japan. Bit of an underwhelming performance, all the same. Is it a performance they could be proud of, Fla, or
get over it, this guy.
you weren't there, man. You didn't see it.
Stop there and jumping on gags, and you don't know what's going on. You're just saying the punchline. It was the first half was I thought was really good. I thought we exited, managed the game really well, and then second half, Johnny went off, and you could say the handling errors were down to conditions, but the first half handling errors, there was a couple of first half handling errors, but nothing compared to the second half. I think we had 14.
Although I did hear Johnny talking about how.
Hey, shut the fuck up, man. You didn't even watch the game, man. You were eating a croissant.
Johnny wasn't playing, obviously, in the Japan game, but he was saying at a press conference how first half the ball was bone dry, but by the time everybody's like sweat pissing off them, the second half's completely different.
Surely,
a different ball.
But I mean, the hands that are touching the ball
I don't know.
Source of the sweat.
I don't know if I bought
the ball doesn't sweat.
I don't know if I bought that one.
When Scotland played Samoa, I did the analysis for Air Sport, and I was going like it just because I don't know how humid it is. So I was like, my God, Scotland have been so bad, so many handling errors, and I have these little Scottish trolls. I think there's like four of them in Ireland that watch Air Sport, and they're like this. Nee, were you slagging off Scotland? And I was like, but you've been so shit for so long,
Yeah.
And then they were at me today and they were like, well, what do you get that one? And I was like, well, we still won with a bonus point, which is the same as Scotland, I suppose. But I didn't appreciate how bad the conditions were.
Why, this was the stupidest question ever, why is it so hot in the roof? Like, do they not have air conditioning in there that makes it less
air conditioned an entire stadium?
I don't like.
Imagine how big the air conditioning units would have to be.
Yeah,
I think they just have it that the stadium is the roof is closed, and for whatever reason, the roof has to be closed for all games because you can get an advantage if the roof is open. I think.
Okay.
You know, like if Scotland played Samoa there and the roof is closed, ball's really greasy, humidity's really high, much harder to play, and then Ireland go and play Russia. If the roof was open, it would be a lot easier for us.
So it's a no to the air conditioned stadium.
Yeah.
Okay. I was right behind you.
Yeah.
You know, the Japanese seem like the type to get behind a weird idea like that.
I mean, like, if you know that it's going to be that sippy, it kind of ruins the game. Like, if you know it's going to be that humid and that, yeah, it's starting to piss me off a little bit. But I don't think any of the quarterfinals are going to be in the stadiums that have the roof closed over.
They're going to play them in a sauna.
Get that stuff, that dry chlore stuff.
The reason
stick
I asked
it in
you.
Your hands, wash it off the morning of the game. Tommy used to wear that whenever he went on the Late Late Show. And he always just got really...
Tommy was pissing sweat today.
He sweats a lot, yeah.
Oh, it's the most he'd lost it, man, you know? Because he said he was there... We tried to put analysis pieces together. And I was there, I think I'm going to do something on game management. I think we managed the game really well in the first half.
And then Darius was like, kind of going, yeah, and I kind of see a little bit. He was like, well, what are you talking about, Darius? And then Strings was kind of into the microphone going like, handling her. Because you're clipping stuff all the way. And Tommy was like, trying to get wild cats into a bag, you know? And I was kind of wandering across preparing my bit. He's like, what are we doing? We have so much time. And then when we finished, like, we actually did a really good job. Analysis was fucking really good. And then Tommy was just took off his jacket, covered in sweat. And I was like, what the hell is wrong with you? He was there.
It's his forehead, though. Cats. He wouldn't have been sweating anywhere else. It would be all forehead sweat dripping down over him.
his pits were right. Because Fez used to be a crazy sweater
as
well.
It's called dry chlore. Tommy said he went on the Late Late Show and he was like so actually nervous about sweating out of his forehead that it made him sweat more from his forehead. So he was like all prepped. I think you put it on. You put it on your forehead and then you wash it off in the morning and then your pores just
clogs up your pores.
Yeah, you don't sweat out of your forehead or wherever you put it. So the boys need to put that on their hands. Get Tommy in as a consultant.
Tommy can be an ambassador for that.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I asked whether they'd be proud of the performance is they didn't look like they were overly happy towards even running in the fifth and sixth try, which were, especially the sixth one was class.
Yeah.
Or is the fourth and fifth. You're kind of going, what pressure are they under? Like, we know the Joe Smith effect, I suppose. You've worked under him. Is he that much of a controlling, terrifying character that when they're going out on the pitch, like, they're winning, but they don't look like they're enjoying it?
No, shit, man. Like it was the first half, the first two quarters of the game were solid. I thought they were good. And they should be really proud of those. And we went in, I think we'd 3 tries, and it was the next quarter, next 20 minutes, there was just so many errors, and we just didn't play well then. And then I suppose we tagged on the tries in the fourth quarter. But I suppose there's a lot of guys there who didn't start in the Japan game, who were looking at it going, this is my chance to get in the team. And probably after the first half, and then the deflation of having so many handling errors, having so many turnovers, mm-hmm. not playing so well in that quarter, they're probably a bit deflated there. But like, it's players are players, man. They're looking at the next game. So they went, well, we've got to get a bonus point win here. We did that. Johnny went and played. Unfortunately, Joey Carberry wasn't fit. Which I think that's probably why Johnny had to get off the field so quickly as well, because if Joey's got an issue, and if Johnny was to get injured there, I think, you know, that puts us in a hairy enough position then, like with Jack Carty there, because Jack Carty's a really talented player. I think he's been struggling is like his skill set. He's like he can make a tack tick, but actually just managing the game, you know, so often he was just trying to put those little dinks over the top all the time, and a lot of times he carried himself when you actually don't want him. If it's not on, just give it to somebody else and let them carry, and you start arranging what the next couple of phases are. But that was my take.
Yeah, so you don't think there's any unnecessary nerves there that Joe would create in the dressing room amongst players? Do you think that's a factor?
I'm not sure if it would be Joe. Obviously Joe is responsible for the environment. The environment is one that if you get something wrong, there's two different types, and I think you spoke about something similar with Razzy Erasmus.
Skill and effort.
Yes, yeah. So it's never acceptable to be in the wrong place to get a play wrong.
A mental error.
Yes, it's never acceptable not to work hard enough to catch up with a line break or to track back like Ozzy did against Japan. I think it is more acceptable to make a skill error, but I think you have to back it up. There has to be a reason for it. It has to be a rational reason. I've made this decision based on what we have, our shape, and what they're putting in front of us in terms of defence. But I just think it's an environment where it gets the best out of you. It makes you nervous. Like it's totally unacceptable to drop a ball that's in your breadbasket.
Hmm.
Totally unacceptable, and I think it should be unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
I went the whole. I remember preseason. Pre-Six Nations. There's a week. You know the way it used to be. There's like a training week before you go on, and all the guys that are going to play in the first game. They don't play that weekend. So you train hard that week. I dropped the ball in a walkthrough and I got taken aside by Joe, and he was like, he doesn't just give me a hard time. He says, what happened there? You know, is there a reason why that happened? You know, what's going on? And he's basically suggesting it was a lack of concentration, which I would have denied at the time, but I think I'm coming around to the fact that, yeah.
Years later.
Yeah, I definitely, and the reason why I'm going on a bit of a tangent here, but the reason why I would agree with that now is because up until very recently, I have never dropped any of my kids. I recently dropped Molly. But so it kind of ruins my whole reasoning behind it. But I don't think I was concentrating when I dropped
Molly.
Yeah,
how was she passed to you?
She was on my shoulder. I don't want to talk about it. It upsets me.
Anna was coming around the side of the sofa and offloaded her.
She goes, think quick. Up until that, I never dropped any of my kids because I'm concentrating when I'm holding them. So obviously, they're not exactly the same.
Was Molly sweaty and humid at the time?
She was. I think, maybe Tommy had just been handling her before me.
You know what?
Tommy drew her to me. She was all sweaty.
I spoke to Tommy. You know what Schmidt has done though, man, is created ball focus as an actual attribute to have.
Yeah.
Because you know, like it can be like if you're coaching and you can just and someone drops a ball, you go, you know, and they just go, oh yeah, I just dropped it. You know, I'll try better. But if you say like, where's your ball focus? Like, where is your actual, are you focusing on catching that ball? Like, you're obviously not doing that. So you're trying to put it as in like, this is something that you can actively be doing. So you can be focusing on catching the ball. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, like it's, to be honest, it's not the skill, it's not the handling errors. The handling errors I would completely put down to the humidity. Like New Zealand, best handling in the world, same problem yesterday. Any team that's played in those conditions kind of have had those problems. It's the All Blacks' response to it is not to drop their head or not to go within themselves. It's more so whether the players are going to make a detrimental mistake, like line speed out of defence on against Japan. It kind of I feel that cooled their jets when they started giving away penalties. Players were almost afraid to get off the line, and I was like, is this because they're going to get bollocked for giving away penalties, despite as we've found out since that those penalties weren't for an actual offside. And then like a lot of criticism has fallen on the players this week that they don't, some of the outside backs or some of the you know, not the 9 and 10s aren't calling what's in front of them out wide or creating something out of nothing, seeing an opportunity. And I'm thinking, is that because the environment, that's not encouraged in the environment?
Well, I see your point. I question that because we were so soft against Japan out wide. Like you would put line speed pressure on the first receiver and then he'd go, oh, I got to get the ball out of my hands quickly. So you're trying to affect his pass accuracy. But you only get the return on that if the guy outside you, when you're putting that line speed on, is flat with you. So you can actually capitalise on a poor pass outside or someone trying to catch the ball. But if your back line, if your defensive line is staggered all the way, you're allowing space for them. And they can run at you. And then that's why Japan looked like the All Blacks against us, because they got time and space to run at us. And I did wonder, well, maybe possibly because there was four offsides called against us, and three of them were, World Rugby came back and said, like, listen, three of them shouldn't have been penalties. But I think
in the Japan game?
Yeah, in the Japan game they were saying that they weren't penalties, but I don't think that's it. I think it was just poor from Ireland. Why I don't know. I think one of the reasons is Japan, their nine keeps playing either side of the ruck. So if you keep playing either side of the ruck, you're always trying to get a matchup, get the same amount of defenders as the attack have either side of the ruck. So if Japan go open, you're going to fold a couple of players open, and then if Japan come back blind, you're going to fold a couple of players blind. And Sarri's do it really well as well, where they just keep attacking either side of the ruck until they see, oh, they haven't got the matchup right here, and then they rip the ball to the edge. The thing is with that is that a lot of teams, good teams, will do that, and you still need to be able to back yourself to get up for your wingers to get high on the edge. I know Andy Farrell is a big advocate of line speed, and he wouldn't be so much on the wingers getting high. If they feel it under the pump, they're going to go into a hunt mentality where they push them towards the touchline, but they are aggressive with it. It's not just backing off and going, run at me. It's more like, okay, I'm going to try and get you towards the touchline, but once I feel I'm going to come at you and put your skill set under pressure. But Ireland were passive there.
Farrell asks a lot of the wingers in general. I think he requires, and it's not just you either sit back or you stay up, what he wants from his winger is to manipulate what the 10 actually does.
Telling lies.
So he would say...
You need to explain what that is, man.
So telling lies is basically... he said if you've got the ball in hand, there's no point in looking at what the defence are doing because they're only telling lies. They're only showing that and then they're going to actually execute something else in defence. So he says whenever the 10's just about to get the ball, then you can show up flat and then you convince him that the kick option is the option, and then you drop back. So you're making him do what you want to do, what you want him to do. But it's very, very difficult to do that whenever there could be 40 metres to make up in a matter of a couple of seconds. So,
yeah.
And sometimes you can just get lucky and he'll think, oh, that's a great play because you've shown him one thing, you've done the opposite. But a lot of tens look out for that now. I know because we talked about it with Ireland, I know whenever we played against Munster or Leinster, I knew that they I knew that they knew what I was trying to make them do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so
Earlsey is very good at it because he's so athletic, man. He gets up, he gets back.
Yeah, I was never as athletic as Earlsey.
Attack-wise then, like, I know that's defensively.
Sorry, Baz, yeah, yeah, go on, your point. I was going to, this is what you were coming to, is like, can players get under, put on, under so much pressure that they actually go into their shells?
Yeah.
But in the second half, it's not that we went into our shells. We kicked the ball more in the first half.
Yeah.
We had more structure to how we progressed up the field. And
so we lost a bit of structure in the second
yes,
half.
100%.
But even like if the biggest criticism coming out of the Japanese game attack wise was our lack of variety, our static carries.
Yeah. But that happened again today.
And again today. So I'm like, how?
So did we look tired though?
Nothing to do with tired. Even watching back the Japanese game, man, I'm not looking at them going, they're tired. I'll come back to Angus
Gardner. I thought we looked
Gardner.
Tired in the Japanese game.
I'll come back to Angus Gardner. I want to have a pop off him in a minute. But I think the lack of learning from last week to last weekend to today, when they're still taking those stats, even on quick ball, you'd see like quick ball, we might make a few yards. Our next carriers, let's say, would arrive 3 seconds before the ball is ready.
Yeah, and
then it's sprint. So it's not a lack of effort. It's sprint to stop. And then they're stopping a yard away from the ruck and carrying. And you're like, and you pointed out yesterday when you were reviewing the All Blacks Canada game, the difference there is Canada know, or the All Blacks know, okay, Canada are going to take a bit of line speed here. So we'll just take 15 yards back off the line and move the ball at ease rather than putting yourself under that much pressure and making it easier for the defenders.
Is the breakdown not accurate enough? Is the ball not being
In the first half, I thought the breakdown when we got into the 22, we were really removing opposition bodies, moving them well beyond where the ball is and creating good, quick, clean ball. The second half, what Baz is talking about, like there was definitely, I think Ty got very flat quite a few times, very, very tight. much like we saw James Ryan doing the previous week, like, and James is going back against the grain, always looking for that short ball, which he's generally very good at, but we were quite flat onto it. That was an area that we could get better at. And even in the second half, I think, I'm just trying to think here, I have it. In the second half, we were trying to move the ball towards the end, and we were just so flat all the way through it.
Mm.
They went off the top of the lineup, went really, really flat, and then came back to the short side, and they just played back to Conway, who made a little breach. But it was the play. The initial strike was so flat.
Mm.
But
like, I think again, you made the point last night that when Scott Barrett got the ball for New Zealand, let's say, in the middle of the field off regular phase play. Mm. Not quick ball, not slow ball, in the middle of the field. He found himself probably second or third receiver out in the middle of the field. And he's taken the ball really deep, nice and deep. He takes it up, draws a defender, stays as straight as possible, and has the skill set to create create space out wide, just like a back would do.
Just stays in the middle of the field, up and down, in his lane, all the way through. He's either going to carry, or he's going to distribute, or he's going to hold someone running those lines. It's
simple, and it's like something we should all do. And when you think about us having
to... We should all be doing it.
Get out there. I can do it. But then you look at our, like, and not to shit all over what we have, because those players we have can do it, but they're not encouraged to do it. So when we come up against, let's say, the All Blacks or South Africa in the quarterfinal, across our second rows and back rows, if we got the kind of players that will have the confidence to do it, I suppose, to take up that position and be a creative player that we need outside of, at the moment, chips, seven, I think, what are we, 7 tries, 5 of them have been chips or something like that?
I don't know that stat, but
yeah,
it's probably fairly accurate. I don't know, Baz. I think the fun, like, look, we won the first game convincingly, bonus point. We won the third game convincingly. In the middle, we had a game, and I think the biggest issues coming from the Japan game were probably that we didn't manage the game well with our exiting. In terms of our game management, we didn't kick the ball enough. Should have put the Japanese under more pressure by kicking the ball more. I think we kicked it 19 times. We're normally kicking the ball about 25 times, 24 on average. And that doesn't mean that if we just kicked the ball another 5 times, we would have won the game. But it would have been... There was 4 massive set-piece turnovers. There was one on 30 minutes. It was a Rory overthrew a line-out. And we'd been really good up to that point. There was one, I think it's on 35 minutes when we conceded a scrum penalty against the head against Japan. There was 49 minutes when we lost the line-out. And on the 49-minute one, we had such good momentum starting the second half in that we had a scrum, we had to exit. Murr plays Chris Farrell, he hits it up, and then he comes back against the grain, hits James Ryan, 2 great carries. He puts a box kick up, Ernsey gets up to contest it, Japan knock it on, we get a scrum, we win a scrum penalty, we now kick the ball into the Japanese 22, we have an attacking line out there. You know, this is brilliant management all the way up the field, like being really efficient, not one-off carry, trying to get up the field. And
did you think we were doing that?
and then
we think we were doing that from they scored in the 55th minute, and we had a bit of a purple patch there for about 10 or 15 minutes where we owned the ball. Did you think we were in a position to play like that? Because I think it was we were mostly in their half for that 15 minutes. We're mostly in their half for that 15 minutes. And here's my problem with Gardner. So at this point, Gardner's given them 4 offside calls against us, which has given them, you know, 9 points, let's say, and one of them was. He's given a couple of penalties, like that penalty against Omani was when he was on his elbow, and at the same time there was someone clearing out on the side, and Healy was flipped on his head. They had that high challenge on Kearney. Earlsey was taken off the ball on a couple of high chases. And then for that 15-minute purple patch, Japan are half a yard offside. Like we saw Garces penalising Russia for today. They're a half a yard ahead of the hindmost foot. So we're trying to create that quick ball by taking a little short dart off 9 or a carry to create quick ball, but they're a half a yard offside. And then we've been driven back, and then we're trying to do it again, and we're driven back. Like, I'm delighted that they've come out and they've kind of rubbished him, because he's on a winner there. He's reffing the home nation in front of the packed home stadium. There's been a lot of shit given out about tier 2 nations not getting ref properly. And he just goes out and gives them absolute home advantage. And I think, like, pile the pressure on us and put all the momentum on the Japanese side. Did he get pulled from a game at the weekend?
Is that one of our Penguins came out with that, didn't they?
I
take your point. That is a good point, that if you think of it from the psychology of going in, reffing the host nation, you know, they're a tier 2 side, so like, and people say, oh, they always get the... But on the same way, and I'm just conscious of, like, if all of the things were equal, and that happened with Gardner, and then we lost the game. And I understand 100%.
It's so, like, hard to say that,
but,
though.
But think of it, we lost. We had 4 set pieces that we turned over. The 3 that I named, and then on 57 minutes, we had an exit scrum, and CJ played to Chris Farrell. Chris Farrell carried under into CJ, and we turned the ball over, and then they scored a try off that. So that's 4 big, massive momentum swings in the game that we had. And we also then, because we were so passive in defence, we end up conceding 185 metres more than them. They carried the ball 24 times more than us, yet they carried, their metres gained was 185 metres.
Again, is that because we're, after the first 40 minutes, we've been pinged and they've gotten themselves back into the game for being offside when we were not offside? So then it seeps in, you get into the dressing room and Joe's kind of going, stop being offside in the middle of the field, and then our line speed drops in the second half.
Shit, I don't know. I don't know. And then, don't know that.
You saw, like, I think in that purple patch I'm talking about, their 7 comes through the side of the ruck and, like, putting his hands up in the ground and, like, walks through Murray. Murray and stops our quick, but Murray's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah.
And then the next pass, because he slowed the ball down, we get tackled and knock
it's,
it on.
It's frustrating.
And it's
yeah.
a turnover.
If we had been, in the second half, if we'd been slow to kind of initiate our takeoff off the line in defence, then I think that would be more of an explanation. But I think we were just passive in general. I think we it's not like we waited a second to make sure okay, we were onside right, yeah, and then haired up.
I think we kind of
trudged up slowly.
All right. No, well,
everybody was trudging on slowly apart from Josh.
Josh that's it. Josh would put the, and that's what gave this big massive dog leg outside. Like, Josh would put line speed pressure on the first receiver. He'd play the pass and the next guy would be like, oh, I've got loads of time here. Mm-hmm. Even for their try, when I watched it back, I think it's for their try from the scrum, Tanaka, the 9, or the replacement 9, plays a really flat pass to Yakamura, their 12, who actually ends up carrying, who gets beyond the Irish scrum because he's just flying. Like, why aren't we coming up to meet him mm-hmm. at least midway or close to midway? So he makes loads of momentum there. Then Tanaka goes back to the blind side and drops Lemecki, the blind side winger, back on a little switch on the short side, which is really clever rugby, just trying to hold him. And then he comes back. I think he's a one-off carry. And then he's got the 6, who's Jimeno, is probably 9 meters away. And the 9, it's medium speed ball. Tanaka pulls that ball to Jimeno, the 6, who has to catch the ball up over his head. He then has time then to open his hips up to get back out to carry overs into Earlsey. Mm. And I was like, this dude's a 6. You know what I mean? Like, I can't say he's... Like, we should be firing off the line there. And then by that stage, the Japanese are like, we have so much time on the ball that you have the confidence then to play that rip pass with the little tip on the edge for Fukuoka to score. Mm. but look, it's done.
It's done, you're right. And look,
it's done.
A lot of people complain that Gardner shouldn't have been called out, but I think...
Is there any
truth? Players get called out.
Yeah.
So why should refs not get called out?
I heard a rumor that he gets the Japanese like catapult him out of Japan now that he's gone from the World Cup to get like a giant
of a cannon.
Like, hold on, that he just goes.
Would they not just put him on a big Japanese flower and then just push him off to sea and go, bye.
One last rugby point,
man. If you compare when South Africa played Japan in the Rugby World Cup warm-ups, South Africa beat them by 40 points, man, because the South African wings get high all the time and get into the passing channel, and then it's so hard to get the ball outside.
In hindsight, it would have been the perfect game for Ireland to have come up hard and made a few risks in defence and put them under pressure. Yeah. But I can see why they didn't, in a way. I can see why they brought in a slightly more passive defence, because they might have just thought, listen, if we're going to implement a risky defence, then there's chances we're going to miss tackles, slip off. They might get their tails up, get their nose through, get offloads away. I think they might have thought that... they might not threaten us that much, so why don't we just kind of contain them, you know, kind of go side to side, be a little bit more passive, and eventually they'll cough the ball up, we'll get a foothold in the game, and we'll score a couple of tries. And I can see how that was the mindset. You know, maybe not even communicated that way, but I just think, you know, let's contain them. They might not be able to threaten us as much as they... There's no way they expected Japan to be as threatening out wide as they were.
Were they not saying... Was Joseph, the Japan head coach, not saying that he wanted to try and send to Eddie Jones before the World Cup, he wanted to try and get ball and play time up to 50 minutes? Like, they looked so fit against us because they were just
running.
But
in previous games, they looked incapable of getting anywhere near the same kind of continuity that they had.
In the Russian game...
They hustled us.
They looked brutal. They look brutal in the Russian game, man.
Yeah.
Do we do enough though to tire a team out? Like, did we do enough to tire them when you say?
Well,
like,
all we did was run backwards, man. We ran backwards against them.
But even an attack, like I think Mike Tindall had a
Jazz
proper
hand.
Mike Tindall had a prop a proper pop of
did a proper prop
a proper
prop.
A proper pop off Ireland again on the English House of Rugby. Kind of questioning our...
Has that come straight from the top? Is that the royal family having a pop at us?
Yeah.
It is, isn't it?
Feckers.
Queenie.
Queen again. Having a go at our attack again that he hasn't seen us play an attacking style of rugby that I suppose he'd fear for over 18 months. I think Pat might have a clip of that.
Peter Mahoney was the liability in that game. He could have given away so many penalties, and I don't know how they didn't get he didn't get a yellow card in a couple of occasions. Like, the laws have moved on, and I still don't think he has. Ringrose,
yeah,
in that first 20 minutes was unplayable. Give him the fucking ball. You know, he was making line breaks. He was, so they had a game there in that first 20 minutes that they should have just stuck to.
Yeah.
But they didn't. Keep the ball on the field and actually play the ball. Play the ball from deep.
All right. Tyndale having a little pop again. I'm going to take the positives out of that because it's hard to listen to. So I'm like, yeah, whatever. Tyndale. It's grand. Like, it's easy. It's fine for us to say it. Like, it's fine for us to criticise. Not okay for you.
We would agree with all of that. But when he says it, we were like, who does he think he is?
Yeah. So
his rugby is very, very sharp. He's super sharp in his rugby. And we lost to Japan, so you have to take your bait. And that's it. Let's take your bait and we go on.
Okay.
But, well, yeah,
we beat Russia. We beat Russia. And some positives I thought from the Russian game. Rhys Ruddock was unbelievable.
Yes.
Such an understated fella. I don't know him, but he comes across like that anyway. And carried ferociously, got through an amount of work, scored a great try. As he worked
to six, the six for Russia, man, was basically standing upright there. Look at the leg drive here from Rhys Ruddock. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was like, look at the six's body position going into the tackle. But you're right, he played really well, and we needed someone in the back row to play really well, particularly when losing Jordy, you know?
Yeah.
And Jordy popped a rib, is that right?
Well, I think he was in a maul, and I think someone came in and it was Maul D, and he just saw Ireland were penalised for, I think Killer was illegally forming the maul, sliding up. And you just see, when the referee pings it, you just see Jordy Murphy's down holding his rib. So
played down for 10 minutes with the rib, like, it didn't look good. Was pretty impressive. Obviously, he's just gotten off the plane. He wanted to stay out as long as he possibly could, but... Have you either of you popped a rib before? Something that you'd come back with within a week or two?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I did. I popped one years ago, man.
What does that mean when you pop a rib?
Yeah. I think it's rib cartilage.
It's always thrown out, though, isn't it? It's popped it again.
I'd done something with rib cartilage, and it was kind of hard to breathe.
Okay.
And I think I got some sort of shots or something like that in it, and I was able to play.
Hmm.
We're playing Borders. That's how long ago it was.
Wow.
Borders. I was injecting me. You know what was really good from today? I thought was pretty good. Is on 15 minutes 45. Ireland had a line out. They went off the top. Sexton kicked the crossfield for Conway. Then I think Russia knocked it in. Ireland got a quick Conway tried to take a quick line out. Russia were offside, and then took a quick one and went across for Erzsi. Like, that's good variation in our game. Like, and if people are going to be critical, like, that was the first half to me was really good. The second half, particularly the third quarter, was just full of handling errors. But move on now, and you know,
you can't bounce back from getting beat by Japan by playing Russia the next week. There's nothing.
Yeah,
you can't say. You see, we are the best team in the world.
There's a manner in which you can, I think. And
it's not. No, at best, it's. Of course, you beat them. They're Russia. Of course, you hammered them.
Yeah,
that's your best case scenario. Apart from that, it's
a lot of the other tier one teams have struggled to hockey other teams.
Scotland, Russia will be an interesting game.
Yeah,
because like Japan didn't tear up any trees against them. Japan really struggled, and England beat Tonga, England beat USA, but didn't rip them apart, didn't put 80 points on them, you know. So I actually thought, like, I thought the Russian 10, his kick accuracy was phenomenal. Jimmy, you got to see this guy, like, he was kicking the ball like someone's trying to kick, like his life depended on it, man. He was kicking the ball, he was up in the air, lashing it into the air, and it was like, it was causing lots of problems. I actually have a question for you. There was an exit in the second half. Ireland moved the ball. I think it might have been off the scrum. I know. I'm going to ask you the question though. But they moved the ball. I think it was off a scrum. I'll find where it was. They moved the ball to the edge, and Rob Kearney drilled the ball down the field, and that's the one where that you're on about. Artemiev drilled that one back, but there was no one covering the backfield. It should be 10 covering the backfield there, isn't it? So 10 moved it. They moved it to the edge. I think it was McGrath who was there, but I would have thought that.
I would have thought so. Obviously, open winger, 15, are both going to chase. It could be either 10 or it could be. It probably, I think it's probably 10. Yeah, 10 in that corner and then blind wing in this corner.
Yeah. Because we got exposed there, man. Like,
was it Johnny or was it Carty?
It was Carty. I want to play a clip of Jamie Heaslip and Eddie O'Sullivan having a little spat on RTE because I thought it was very funny.
Well, where are we? We just won with a bonus point. We did all we can do. I mean, okay, yeah, we'd love to score way more tries. They didn't. Get over it. Mm-hmm. They have the bonus point win. They need one more win here and they're probably going to qualify them from the group. And then it's into knockout rugby, and anything goes in knockout rugby.
Exactly. We've come every day is a new day.
We've come out on top of our groups.
No problems.
And as Jamie said,
no problems.
No, but they proved on a one-off.
See here, move on.
I don't think it's
get over it.
Yeah, the two of them are going at it, which is great.
Owen from Second Captains, his response to the last time that they kind of had a bit of a fallout, and then everybody was talking about Jamie's facials. And then Owen was like, well, his face has to do something.
Yeah, I loved Brent Pope just in the middle of it, just looking quite awkward again. Okay, well, have we summed all of that up?
Jamie's not wrong in terms of what that Dara O'Brien said in terms of if there's the middle of the road that everyone swings left and right. It's like, we've beaten Scotland, we're going to win the World Cup. Yeah. We lost to Japan, we're useless. Yeah. And then we've beaten Russia and like, oh, we're still useless. But we're not, do you know what I mean? We're not playing as well as we could by a million miles. But it's not disaster. But people love that. They love the, you know, sitting in the middle is kind of, it doesn't, from a media point of view, it doesn't really generate that much hype. So being one way, being either it's amazing or it's dog shit.
No, you don't get any clickbait out of Ireland, we're okay.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, not bad.
All right, I'm not going to read that.
I'm going to use get over it now a bit more. Hey, you can't park there. Get over it. That's my baby. Get over it.
What are you doing?
We'll be back in part three with Black and White.
You're listening to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe. Together with Guinness.
All right, lads, time for Black and White.
Cool.
Everyone knows a pint of Guinness is the perfect opportunity to come together, but this statement that I'm about to give you will tear the house apart. Here we go. Inside your statement, inside your envelope, is a statement, and Andrew, you're going to be arguing for, Barry, you're going to be arguing against.
Okay.
The statement is, Boris Johnson is doing a great job so far. Andrew, 30 seconds on the clock. Boris Johnson is doing a great job so far.
Boris Johnson, for me, I think he's had an outstanding innings so far. He said we're going to leave the EU on the 31st. The UK. He said the UK are going to leave EU on the 31st of October. And for me, well, who knows? But he certainly seems like he's on schedule so far. He has nearly been arrested, but that's a little bit of an issue. But we'll just get around that, and we'll just go on with getting out of the EU on the 31st of October, just like there was a referendum.
Time up,
demagogue.
Time up. He is quite a demagogue. That's a good.
What is a demagogue?
Example. It's like a demon devil from Stranger Things.
Stranger Things is what I the only reference.
He is exactly the demagogue from Stranger Things,
I think.
You are one of his little rabid dogs that flies around with a little weird face that tries to bite people. That's you, man. You just sided yourself with the demagogue.
Yeah.
Whereas I am Will, the cool kid. Uh-huh. He's the guy with the braces. They can't really talk properly.
Do you think it's over? There's going to be a Stranger Things 4 and we're going to wipe you out.
Yeah.
Me and Boris. And the rest of
them. There you go. Time's up. Now, Jerry, who do you think?
They were equally shit, so nobody...
That's 'cause he's never seen Stranger Things.
That's true.
Get over it.
Get over it, okay. I'm going to give you, Baz...
No, it's okay. We don't need to drop anything on the leaderboard.
We ran out of points
again. We haven't got props.
I'm going to give Baz that one. because of get over it. Get over it.
Now we're stealing
from you to give to me. It's a draw.
It's a 14-point turnaround.
Right. Thanks, everybody, for listening on all your favourite apps. And for those of you watching on YouTube, hello. Please do leave us a rating and review to let us know what you like
and what you don't like.
Or if you don't like it, you just get over it.
Get over it. We are not here to serve. Pat wrote here to serve, but nah, sorry, Pat. Cheers to everyone that was involved in making the show this week. To Pat, to Alan, to Fiona, and to Anthony. Thanks to Jerry. Thank you, Trimby. Thank you, Pat, again. This has been Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby here on Joe, together with Guinness. Party on.
Party on.
You were listening to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness. Drink responsibly. Visit drinkaware.ie for the facts.